toasting Tories in London. Here's British Prime Minister David Cameron celebrating a Conservative victory in national elections.
We will govern as a party of one nation, one United Kingdom. That means ensuring this recovery reaches all parts of our country. It means giving the poorest people the chance of training, a job, and hope for the future.
A call for unity, but the numbers say growing divisions. The left-of-center Scottish National Party took 56 of 59 seats in Scotland, which will add to a number of questions this new government will face about the future of the UK, as well as its role in Europe. Gavin Haynes is political correspondent for Vice News in London. He says that Prime Minister David Cameron's outright majority in Parliament comes with some major headaches.
His first key challenge will be to make sure he can whip all of his MPs, because of course he has a party that's very rebellious, particularly over Europe, and so subsequent to that, 20 years ago, they rebelled against the Prime Minister of the day, John Major, multiple times when he had a 22-seat majority. He will have a 5 or 7-seat majority, so that will tie his hands.
Does this embolden the voices among the Tories to do something radical as far as the UK's relationship with Europe is concerned?
I think for Mr. Cameron, I think he has spent his entire political career trying to kick Europe into the long grass. He is a sort of a left-leaning liberal Tory, and he has promised the nation a referendum on the EU membership in 2017. However, I don't really feel that he ever thought he'd have to follow through on that, and now it seems very ironclad that he will. He will have to go off and renegotiate with Europe, which is going to be very difficult, borderline impossible, and then put a renegotiated package to the British electorate on an in-out basis. And yes, so he will be rejoicing today, but he really has a lot of headaches to come.
And wither the Labour Party and the opposition really seems to be in utter disarray right now, with the exception of the Scottish Nationalists.
Yes, it's more disarray for the Labour Party. They were took their lowest share of the popular vote in 2010. They have lost another 20 or so MPs on top of that last night. And it seems that they have very few places to go. They tried going with a leader who would appeal to the grassroots of the party. That hasn't worked. There's going to be a long period of soul-searching before they can come up with a political solution that actually appeals to the electorate.
And whither Ed Miliband? He's resigned. What's his future?
His future is wherever the world takes him, I suppose. I guess he could go off and go onto the lecturing circuit in America, which is what the previous incumbent of his post, Gordon Brown, is about to do, having just resigned as an MP. But I think he will be just consoling himself on the back benches for the next few years at least.
There's always Harvard for British politicians.
There certainly is, yes. There certainly is, yes. I think his brother is already in the United States, who ran against him for the leadership 4 years ago. He himself has already taught at Harvard, I think, when he was a young man.
And the Scottish National Party, what do they do now? If this majority is solid and Cameron can hold it in tough votes, it really denies the SNP real power. But if he needs help, then they become a bit of a kingmaker.
Yes, but I don't think that's necessarily going to happen, because there's an extraordinary enmity between the SNP, who are to the left of Labour, and the Tories, who are a party whose government exists pretty much solely in England now. And so there is one of the key stories of tonight has been that the union, the 300-year-old link between Britain and Scotland, between England and Scotland, very London-centric there, is starting to fray apart.
And despite the vote last year, which was covered, the forces at work seems to suggest division rather than unity.
Absolutely, yes. I mean, it seems that we are moving ever more towards a fractured union and a more multi-party system. I think one of the key things that has come out of this election has been the rise of the smaller parties. They didn't do so well on the night because of the constituency system, but in terms of the popular vote, you now have a sort of left-wing Green Party and a right-wing UK Independence Party alongside the three big hitters plus nationalists in Scotland and Wales, and really there is a panoply of different configurations of voting patterns amongst the electorate. It's not as tribal as it once was.
Gavin Haynes, political correspondent for Vice News based in London, thanks so much.
Thank you.
You can find a link to Gavin's coverage of the UK general election at thetakeaway.org.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.